Day 7, travel to orbit. If the speaker doesn't speak at all to anybody, is he really the speaker? Or is he just kind of the stand here and read the mapper? The map reader? Map watcher. Because he's not doing much speaking. Going out on missions, you know, fighting Taken, fighting Hive, fighting Cabal, fighting the Vex, fighting the Fallen. Not doing much speaking for being the speaker. The guy that in a lot of the Grimoire cards referred to as, you know, being the head honcho, that everything has to be cleared through the speaker. Zavala has to go and talk to the speaker. Cade does whatever he wants anyway. Not really doing a lot of speaking. Always gets me worried when the person that talks for an object that can't talk for himself is doing the speaking for said object. Usually that's like the, hey, I'm the villain trope. Because I'm, you know, manipulating everyone based on this one object that I am speaking for that only speaks to me. Weird. Anyway, what is the speaker doing anyway? I figured, you know, we would get some more about the speaker. We'd get more about the traveler. Oh yeah, there's a traveler in this game. We forgot about the traveler during The Dark Below. We forgot about the traveler during The House of Wolves. There was one part where the Fallen were looking at a picture of the Traveler, though. That's interesting, but then we forget about it, because, hey, we don't really need the Traveler. He brought us space magic, and that's about it. Now he's just still floating above this lost city that we never explore, we never go into. Just sitting there, and actually not doing much traveling either. Just like the speaker isn't speaking, the Traveler isn't traveling, so let's call it the floater, yes? The Traveler is now the floater, being mined for parts to create ghosts and to create armor for the Guardians, who just go out and die anyway, so I don't know. So we got a floater, we got a map watcher, and we've got a stranger who is still very strange, but is also absent for the last couple story missions and DLCs, and we don't know anything about her either, other than she can teleport. And doesn't have a lot of time to explain things. So we have someone that doesn't explain, someone that doesn't travel, someone that doesn't talk or speak. And now I'm just kind of waiting for these things to be addressed. Hopefully they'll be addressed soon and we'll have a speaker again and he'll speak to us. We'll have a stranger and eventually she won't be a stranger. So maybe the stranger won't. Anyway, more story from these three entities hopefully are going to happen in the future. Want to know about more about the Traveler. I want to see where the Traveler is going to go next. I mean, is it all exhausted? It can't leave it all anymore? So what's going to happen to it? I mean, it brought all this, you know, all this change when we found it on Mars and it came to Earth. And it's bringing all these enemies to it because the Fallen want it. But the Fallen really haven't made a push at all. I mean, the Fallen went through their war. Then Skolas took them to Venus to go be able to travel through time like the Vex, and then not much else. Then Crota shows up and is like, oh, we gotta take down Crota. I wonder if Crota showed up because we killed Oryx or because he found out that the Traveler was on the Earth. I wonder what Oryx would do if he had the Traveler and the power of the Traveler, because the Hive, they all drink in the light. They have these worms or whatever they are that live in them that just suck up the light, and their appetite is unsatiable, so they gotta keep eating the light. What better place to go than to the Traveler, which created the light? So, what's going to happen there? Something's got to happen there. I imagine something's going to happen there. I mean, once they get their ship up and running, if they do get their ship up and running. I don't know, we're going to take down Crota in the raid this weekend, so we'll see if that's even a thing at all. Anyway, just my thoughts on those three individuals that have kind of been absent. Even though, I mean, that's what Destiny was all about. The first cutscene when, you know, we got these astronauts discovering the Traveler on Mars and, you know, all the changes that it brought and terraforming all these different planets. And now it's just kind of there, kind of waiting to be put to use as a, you know, as a player in the story, waiting for it. So it's the weekly reset. Saber Strike for Nightfall. Excited to go in there. I want to get my raid exclusive helmet for my Warlock. Hopefully going to run that a couple times. Apparently there's a ghost in this strike that I haven't found yet. And I've got to go back and I got to look for it. Got to scour this area. Apparently I've missed a lot of stuff going through these missions the first time. I've got to go back to Cade's stash. Apparently there's some Easter eggs in there. Another ghost also that I've got to find. Want to find out more about Cade because he's one of the more interesting characters now in Destiny. Definitely the funniest and has the most character of all the characters. Even though this is getting a lot better, Eris is pretty creepy. She's got a lot of character. It brings up another point. Eris, after we beat Crota the first time at the end of the story mission when we finish that prologue, Eris goes into the area where we had to be ascended to gain entrance to. Is Eris ascended? In order for us to become ascended, we had to go get part of Crota's soul. So how is Eris in this area? Is she ascended? What is going on with her? Because she doesn't say anything about her being ascended. Never makes mention of it. So in which case, I know that she, you know, went to fight Crota. So did maybe she become ascended during that attempt on his life that her fire team made and failed miserably at? What's going on there? We got to find out more information. Eris has got three eyes. She's creepy. Hopefully we can figure out what she's doing. Maybe she's in league with Oryx, trying to figure out a way to get to the Traveler by help of the Queen, who guarantee you the Queen's not dead. Queen's not dead. No one can really believe that the Queen's dead. I mean, come on. She can't be dead. She's the Queen. All right. So quick rundown of some things I've been thinking about. Weekly missions that are going to start happening soon. I think once everyone gets through the story, at least one time, it's going to take a while. There's like 85 missions to get through everything. I think Bungie's going to start dropping some weekly content for us in the way of these missions. The way they have the missions right now, it would be really easy to implement something new. It's like, hey, this is the weekly mission. We've got this activity going on here. Go down here, grab some, you know, complete the content, whatever it is, whether it's furthering the story by, you know, some random taken is trying to take over Venus and you got to go stop him. You get awarded with legendary marks or something. This could be new content every week. Just a small little tidbit of story added in. And they could just drop these every week. One a week, furthering the story just slightly. And do it on a Thursday. We don't have anything happening on Thursdays, right? Tuesdays, we got the reset. Wednesdays we have Arms Day. Thursday we can drop the new story missions. And we can kind of get some more content going that way. There could be a lot of things that you could do with that. One thing I was thinking about, now that we lost our Nightfall Flaming Head perk, which I thought was kind of fun to have the Flaming Head. Always wanted to get that day one. I don't understand why it was such a problem for people to get that perk. But they said they didn't want it, they got rid of it, whatever, and we're going to move on. We need new weekly bonus perks. Every time we beat the Nightfall, we need new perks. How about, you know, we have perks like increased movement speed or increased glimmer collection or increase how many nodes of a material you pull out of the node each time they spawn. I don't know why they couldn't do an XP bonus because, I mean, everyone's level 40 anyway. It's not like, you know, that level even matters at all for players, unless you're starting a new character, but still, you get through that so fast, it's kind of ridiculous. Just some thoughts. Maybe your Sparrow goes twice as fast, because, I mean, there's no real benefit to your Sparrow going faster. It would just be a nice little fun little perk that gets you around all these areas quicker. Let's make it happen. Let's do it. One other thing. Why not have, I know Diablo 3 does this a lot, we have weekly, they call them community events in Diablo. On any given weekend, you know, from this certain date to this certain date, this perk is buffed up. For example, this weekend in Destiny, let's say there is a community event. It's a legendary mark event. Legendary marks from each event are doubled. So instead of getting 15 legendary marks, boom, you're getting 30 legendary marks for the weekend. Instead of getting, you know, how about glimmer is doubled for each time you kill something or you use one of your consumables. That could be something for a weekend. You know, shanks drop, double the engrams when you kill them. You know, there's so many things that you can do that Bungie could do for, you know, just weekly events that you could go down. You could do these events. It encourages you to play during these weeks. It has a benefit for you to be playing. You're going to be playing anyway. and encourage those that, you know, I'm probably not going to play this weekend, encourage you to go in and play some more. You know, increase the drop rate in the raids for one weekend. Increase, you know, the amount of damage that your weapons do for this weekend. You know, there's just a lot of things that they could do to kind of, you know, get the shot in the arm. As everyone's completing all these missions, eventually it's going to start to get to the point where you're like, well, you know, I don't know if I've done all this. I've done the raid a couple times. I don't know if I'm going to jump on this weekend. But this just encourages you to keep playing, keep playing. Maybe your infusion, you know, doubles its rate of infusion. Instead of 80%, it actually does 100% of the fusion. Just a bunch of different things that they could do. Maybe even, you know, the Cryptarch doubles its rep whenever you turn in engrams. You know, it's not like you're getting exotics or anything, but you're doubling the engrams that he's giving you. So it's just some things that, you know, I was thinking about, some things you can do. So I hit light level 287. I still got to go and do the prison. Not the prison. I don't want to do the prison. Skolas. I hate running Skolas. Not ever going back into the prison. I don't know. Maybe they're going to increase exotic drop rates in the prison one weekend. Then that gives you a reason to actually go try and defeat Skolas. I mean, now you're level 40. He was level 35 or whatever. It should be easy to do. No problem. That's just one suggestion. Who knows? Been doing some PvP bounties. Man, some of these PvP bounties are ridiculous. I mean, all you got to do is pick up one heavy ammo crate and you get a bounty. Oh, that's easy. You just got to, you know, get a couple kills while you're controlling some spots. These PvP bounties, I mean, they're going to happen no matter what. So I just go in, you pick up the bounties, don't even read them. And while you're out playing, you just collect all these bounties. It's easy. I like it. Makes it less of a grind to be like, oh, I got to do this. I got to get melee kills. I got to get grenade kills. I mean, those still happen sometimes, but this new system, the new bounties, they're super easy to do. It doesn't feel like a grind to me to do these bounties. PvP, I still got to go in. 25 kills for my sword to level this up. However, I did find out that you do not have to have ammo on your sword for the kills to count with it. You just have the hilt. You're just punching people with the hilt of your sword. It's two melees for the kill, and that's it. So I'm going to go in there, I'm going to go and rumble with a team of three people. We're going to go let each other kill each other, kill ourselves, and we're going to grind this out. We're going to get it done. And never going to look back again on trying to get 25 kills with, you know, with the sword in PvP. We tried it, and man, I just got destroyed. Every time I'd go through for a heavy ammo box, I'd grab the box, and I'd run up to someone, and you get shotgunned from a ridiculous range still. Because that's still a thing, being shotgunned like crazy. That's always exciting. And I think that's one of the reasons I don't like PvP. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if it just seems like the weapons are so unbalanced right now that, you know, pulse rifles are just destroying things. Scout rifles don't seem to be very effective. Mida is pretty good, but I mean, these pulse rifles are just wrecking and the shotguns still just have this crazy range on them. But I don't know, I just need to play more. I'm sure I would understand the meta if I played more PvP, but I just don't, because it doesn't seem like the rewards are there to keep me playing. If there was some sort of, I mean, I don't even know if there's like PvP exclusive gear you can get from the drops. I mean, the strikes, you get exclusive gear like the helmets or whatever. But I don't even know if they have those, or if they're saving them for Iron Banner, if they're saving them for Trials of Osiris when it comes back. I don't know. Don't really care. Maybe I'll care more. Mayhem is pretty fun. But I think I'm going to spend the majority of my time getting ready for the raid and running the raid and getting proficient at running that. And then maybe I'll go hit up some PvP. But tonight, going to grind out 25 kills, punching people with the hilt of my sword in PvP. Because that's going to be super fun and super exciting. Quick topic, reading the forums again. I know it's a bad idea, I shouldn't do it, but is boycotting a game that you don't like effective? For example, there's a lot of people on the forums that are upset that they're locked out of content on the Taken King, even though they can go play that content. They're upset that they can't play it at the higher light levels, which I think is kind of weird, I'll admit, but I mean, I don't know. As a consumer of video games, as a gamer, like, I know what content is coming out for a game well ahead of time before it comes out. You know, so I save my money. I know I'm going to buy Taken King. I know I'm going to buy Halo 5. I know I'm going to buy Battlefront. So I put my money away to get ready for that. I mean, is it just me? I know a lot of people do this, that they prepare for these games to be released. And then when they're released, they pick them up and they play them. But I don't understand these people that are like, oh, they're so mad that they're locked out of this stuff. They obviously want to play Destiny. Do you not want to play the new stuff? I mean, there's a lot of people that are complaining that they're going to be locked out of Iron Banner and locked out of Trials of Osiris. Would you want to go into those things with, you know, weapon levels of 170 against people that have level 300 weapons anyway? So I don't understand that complaint. I mean, we knew that these things were going to change. We knew that the new Nightfall was going to be, you know, level 40 or 42, whatever it is. And we knew that the Heroic Strikes were going to be higher level. If we didn't buy the new content, we knew we weren't going to be at those levels to be able to complete them anyway. We can still go play the story missions, like the level 8 Sepik Strike. You can still do that. I mean, you're not technically locked out of content. That content is still there. You're not going to be able to play at that higher level. But at that point, is that different content? Because you're still running the same strike, just the numbers are different. So is that different content? Or are we just arguing semantics here? Or does it even matter? I mean, is the point that you're going to boycott buying this game, you're going to try and convince people on the Bungie.net forums that they shouldn't buy this game? If you convince all these people not to buy it, which you never will, because people are going to buy the game, you know, the vocal minority of people that are boycotting and asking for refunds and being like these, you know, warriors for good against Bungie/Activision that are like championing this cause and their crusade, is like, you're not really making a drop in the bucket. If these were important changes that the majority of Destiny players actually cried out on, that would be the difference. It would be people not buying the game. You trying to convince 10 people to not buy the game isn't doing anything. I mean, move on. If you don't like the game and if you don't like where it's going, move on. I mean, I don't understand this asking for a refund business after you buy a game. I guess I grew up where, you know what, if you open that game disc, you cannot get a refund. You know, and that maybe that's why I do so much research on these games before I buy them. And, you know, I've been burned before. Everyone's been burned before. But, you know, it sucks that you got to eat it. But, I mean, that's what GameStop is there for. If you want to support GameStop, I never do. I hate GameStop. But go trade in your game. You know, you take a hit, but, you know, a lot of those games are still, you know, you're going to get good value for them if it's within the first week of release. And by then, you know if the game is bad or not. You've already got the value, and this value is all it's all perceived value, I imagine. For example, I spent $90 on Destiny. I've gotten way more than that in terms of value playing that game than I could ever recoup. If I were to go and be like, nope, I hate Destiny now that Taken King is out, I want to get my money back for vanilla Destiny and the expansions that I purchased because I don't have access to the content. That's dishonest to me. I played that content. I got hundreds of hours out of that content. And now I want to go back and get the full value out of it. That doesn't make any sense. And maybe it's just morals. Maybe if people actually think that they're entitled to that same value of money for that content, that's ridiculous to me. And that kind of attitude needs to stop. I mean, move on. If you're that upset that you're, you know, contacting the Better Business Bureau and looking for a lawyer to sue them, you know, do something else with your life that's more productive and that's actually going to bring you happiness. If that kind of thing brings you happiness, is trying to sue someone for $60... That's sad. Yeah, it's sad. That's the word for it. It's sad. I'm sorry. If you're that person, you sadden me. Anyway, I ranted way too long about this. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I ranted way too long. Anyway, this has been day 7. It's raining here in orbit. I got to get back to, you know, some hangar so I can get out of this bad weather. So I'm out. I will see you tomorrow for Arms Day. I will see you how good my Suros pulse rifle is. I'm going to jump in and get my sword quest done today. And I'm going to report back to you guys tomorrow. And I am not going to go sue anybody. So peace out, everyone.